It certainly has been extremely helpful to me. I know one of the teachers in the Korean practice, and it happens to him as it does to everyone that he gets all caught up and then suddenly remembers, oh, only don't know. From moment to moment, we can only know this moment. The rest of it is just fiddling around with our thoughts. And of course, we enjoy our anxious thoughts as well as, of course, suffering from them as well. So I wonder what you all are doing with your anxiety. How practice is helping you, if it is. Maybe you can be very grumpy and say, oh, it's no good at all. It's just a terrible world out here and we don't know what to do and it's awful. That's practice too. So this is a time for sharing. If you can, it would be wonderful to hear from you. I miss you all so much. And it's wonderful to see you. 1, 2, 3, 4. Wow. It's wonderful to see you. So tell me how you're living. Tell me how practice and action itself are the same thing in your life. How it works, not in the Zendo, but we're all meeting at home now. So it's obviously right here where we are. Somebody?
Hi, Angie.
Yes.
It's Pamela.
Glad to see you, Pamela.
Good to see you, Angie. This was actually my question tonight. And it's interesting in the sutra, we just chanted, far apart from every inverted view, one dwells in nirvana. And I want to meet the person who gets to dwell in nirvana. Because I find that I am, because of practice, I'm basically on one of those balance boards all the time. I found the fulcrum. I know how to find the fulcrum. But I often slide right down that teeter-totter, get splinters in my bum on the way down. It hurts. It's not fun. And, you know, what happens for me, what I've found is to get back to this place, the fulcrum. It sounds very simple and silly, but this is really what happens is I look up and look at what's happening outside of my thoughts. I just look outside most of the time, and then nothing can hold back my gratitude. Nothing can hold back the joy of being alive. But there's this weird attraction to suffering. And, you know, there is, and I'm not fond of that. If I could discriminate and get rid of that, I would. So I'm wondering who gets to dwell in nirvana, who gets to stay in the fulcrum. I mean, do you practice 300 years and you get to stay there?
So. Never. Never.
Wrong I'm answer.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah. I had a friend who said, we never look up.
Mm.
And it's true. We have our noses on the sidewalk most of the time. And that's where our thinking goes grinding away with on the sidewalk. And if we are able to look up and just drop whatever is going on in our mind. Gratitude just comes because it's so beautiful up there. And we're a part of that all the time. So we all know that. It's curious, this attraction for suffering. It keeps us very self-aware. As long as we're hurting in some way, as long as we're going over and over the things that we wish didn't happen or wish did happen, blah, 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 it's just feeling kind of good in a way, because it's me.
Yeah.
It's me and my suffering. Accepting suffering is what Buddha was talking about. And once you do, it turns into something else. It's a natural process. It isn't any magical stuff at all. It's just how things are. And if we face how things are, all that nonsense falls away. And then we come back and get grumpy, of course, or get very filled with ourselves. But that's just a sign of our suffering. It's a long life, folks. just enjoy it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pamela.
So, speaking of suffering, there's a lot of suffering in the world these days, and I'm transfixed by it. I just have to watch it. I have to know its history, and but it seeps into my consciousness in the middle of the night. You know, I'll be with the Afghans at the airport, or it's not my reality. My reality is very nice, but I just kind of absorb that suffering that's going on around me. And then the nurses at the hospital, I mean, you all know what is out there. So should I try to not to watch? Yes, we had a conversation about this the other day. You said, don't watch so much news. Well, what am I going to watch? My life right now is kind of boring. Maybe that's why I'm absorbed in it. But it's the plot's unknown. We don't know which way it's going to go. And certainly the COVID epidemic affects us. And I do sit with it. I think of people, and I send my thoughts to them, those that are suffering these tragedies and challenges.
I suspect that all of us are doing that. How can we not? As long as we know. But to impose a lot of suffering on ourselves because others are suffering isn't helpful. I think we can go try to help if we're really concerned about something. And if we're in a position where we can't help, I think we'd do better to find something useful to do and just do it.
My volunteer activities have been closed down, except for working for the helping the floating Zendo.
Which you're doing a great job of. That's enough. Nobody's measuring what we're doing.
It's not helping suffering.
By the amount of suffering. No. It's about what's true in our own life. Not all over the world, because we can't be all over the world except in enjoying the presence of ourself in the whole world. But it's not useful. We can cry with each one we know. We can go out there and do what we can to feed people who are hungry. But to get all wrapped up in it, I do think it's a mistake.
Well, what do you mean by wrapped up? I mean, just 1 hour nudes is all you need for the images.
Well, you're selecting that, the feeling. You're choosing how to feel about it.
Well, it's the subconscious that is choosing. I have enough going on in my life. I don't think about it till I'm go to bed, and I'll wake up in the middle of the night with the images. But thank you, Angie.
It's so great to see you, Angie. This is Karin. I don't know if you can see.
Of course I can see.
You're such a beautiful light and just inspirational. And I'm one of the crabby people tonight. At least the one I'm caught up in my own story. In my, which brings up a familiar thing, and your message of like, oh, I'm bringing that up to hold on to some me there is really interesting, and I'll play with that, and I feel a little bit of, I'm connecting with Wendy in terms of, this thing in Afghanistan is very upsetting. And then I did find that there are groups, there are Afghani people just in the Bay Area that are collecting money, if that's an avenue. And then I was just thinking, I was recently reminded of the Tonglen exercise, which seems like it's a little bit active in our, knowing that we are compassionate people, and that maybe we can breathe in some of that suffering that we're identifying with a little bit, and breathing out whatever peace, you know, that we can towards the situation. I don't know, it might feel like a little bit more of an active meditation with it, instead of feeling helpless.
It's a very good suggestion. That's the next step, is just to send out all your love. That's really what the problem is that they're not safe. And as soon as we're not safe, or people around us are not safe, we become very anxious. But we ourselves can generate love, as you say. And that itself surpasses love. It becomes the whole of the universe, you could say. So sending love to those who we're anxious about certainly is the most helpful thing we can do for ourselves and for whoever needs us. And Tonglen, I've never been taught Tonglen. So the breathing in of the difficulty and the breathing out of your own loving kindness always seems a little problematic to me, a little extra. But it works for a lot of people. So, yeah, try it. Love always helps. We find ourselves in love with something or someone. Where are we? It's a whole different place. Okay. Yes, John.
Miss Angie, it's wonderful to see you this evening.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us and helping us, as you always do. Just a comment about Tonglen. I was taught Tonglen when I was practicing with Shambhala, the Tibetan practices. And it's not very complicated, but it does involve the very first step is usually to look up and imagine huge open space. And then do the breathing in of difficulties and pain and suffering, and visualize that as a dark smoke, not unlike the wildfire smokes that we're familiar with now. And then on the out-breath, to breathe out your openness and your goodwill to the people who are suffering. And my experience with that has been that for me, that experience comes back to me again and again later, even when I'm not focusing on that and actively doing that. it comes back to me, oh yes, I took in those people's suffering. I took in the suffering of the children who are in the midst of these crowds next to the airport gates, and of the women who can't even get to the gates, and so it serves as a reminder, very, very much a very strong way of being reminded about those people and their suffering, but also of my thoughts towards them and my wishes for them. So it's not a confined practice at all. It's somewhat like Zazen in that sense that it follows me everywhere I go from that point on. It's a very difficult and painful world. It's an awful world. It's a wonderful world. It's a world full of awe and mystery. And I remind myself, no matter how much news I watch or how much history I learn about, I have no way of knowing what's next, what's just around the corner. I'm being exposed to people that I was not aware of before. Many of them are just amazing women in Afghanistan, and they continually pop up being interviewed, and they're just incredible. They're powerful. They're articulate. They're leaders, and they're wonderful. And they're suffering, no question, but they have been carrying many people for 10 years, 20 years, 40 years, even going back to 1919. I've learned that that's when Afghanistan became independent of the UK. So taking the long view, what's happening now is what's happening now. And it's the step that's happening now towards what can unfold next. And we don't know what that's going to be. But seeing these people really gives me some hope. It really does.
Thank you very much.
Hi, Angie.
Kave.
There's so much. Thank you. What I want to say is, paradoxically, when you do Tonglen, it actually relieves your own suffering because of your connecting to the suffering of others. So you're effectively helping others in your mind, in your heart, even though you're not physically able to reach them. Your heart and mind is reaching them, even though they cannot feel it. So it's like a paradox. It's like you're taking in others' suffering and sending them relief, but you're actually sending yourself relief.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I wanted to say. And it doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to be synchronized with your breath. Like, it can start off, but after a while, it's hard to distinguish, at least between, it's hard to like breathe in suffering, for me at least, exhale, you know, light. After a while, it's all mixed up. It's,
yes.
So, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You just, it's just a way of connecting. It's just a way of connecting in your heart.
Yes.
With other suffering. And because our heart wants to help, it brings us back joy. Yes. I don't know if joy is the right word, but yeah, relief. Relief.
It's relief from our sense of onlyness.
Onlyness, it's connection. It's connection. Yeah.
It's connection that we belong to everything and everything belongs to us. And so often, especially when things are difficult, all we can feel is how alone we are. So what you're describing is how we lose that sense simply by thinking about others without without taking on their hurt in a way that hurts us. Sometimes people think, oh, that's so tough. You have to suffer the way they are suffering. But it isn't like that. It's how love transforms us. It is the transformation only.
So I also wanted to say, when I, in the last 2 weeks when I've been watching Wendy speak, in her demeanor, she's in,
yes,
there's something really I cannot describe. Wendy, you're already helping them, whether you do formal tongue or not. Just your compassion is helping them.
Yeah,
and helping you, helping us. I just want to say, I feel it. I can't, you know, just in your face, it's joy and sorrows mixed.
Thank you, Kaveh.
Hi, Angie, and everyone. I'm sorry I was so late tonight. I took a friend to a doctor's appointment, and it went long, is all I can say. And it's interesting that, Angie, you asked us to talk about this tonight, because I went to a meditation and recovery group last night, virtually, where a very similar topic was raised. And the speaker talked about, in great detail, needing his own mortality as his current spiritual practice, but in these very ordinary ways. You know, making his living will and just ordinary things, going to the doctor and that sort of thing. And I started really thinking about that, and thinking about, because at first I was kind of like, well, this isn't spiritual practice, you know. I was one of the crabby ones. You're not alone, Karen. But it is. And I think I just have to remember, you know, that's the part of it, is that living my life with a certain intention, you know, every every action can be that. I mean, and does help me get through these tough times. I mean, I looked at my partner the other night and I just said, this is a hard year. As I was facing going to the dentist the next day. So it's kind of those little things that you know, we're carrying a lot. And so the small things like going to the dentist can put me over the falls to a certain extent. But having gratitude for the fact that there is a dentist, there is a dentist that I can access. There's somebody who wants to help in that particular way. You know, all those things can start to then roll into making going to the dentist a bit more less mundane and perhaps a little bit more part of my spiritual life. So thank you.
Well, thank you. Talk to Carolyn this evening before this began, and she said she couldn't come, but she thought that keeping a house full of laughter was very important also. As we live the pain that we're in and the confusion that we're in, you know, the whole thing is ridiculous in a way. And sometimes it hits us just right. And it surely, surely is helpful. So allowing it in the face of all the dreadful mess of life, our life, their life, we can see the joke sometimes. And it's very good to stay open and loose enough that the joke is we're aware of at the same time. Our own foolishness, you could say. Our own inadequacy. Our own helplessness. It's kind of great in a way.
I'd like to speak. Can you see me?
No.
Yeah.
I'm just these.
Speak anyway.
So for floating Zendo.
There you are.
Abe is always there to lend that note of humor. We appreciate that so much. And I've been really working on that Korean side of things, that not knowing mind. When I read that it rained 17 inches in a Tennessee town and it flooded people away so quickly that they literally lost lives in that process. They never experienced anything like it. And it feels very much like the fires that are happening in California at the moment. I've only been here 75 years in this state, and I've never seen anything like this. And, you know, we're talking about a ongoing process in which the time period for that will extend for the next 2 or 3 months. So I don't know what's going to be left of this state. How many trees will still be standing? I mean, we really are living through something so remarkably different. That how do you focus one's mind when it can go in so many different directions? As this conversation, this discussion we're having with each other tonight, somebody wants to talk about Afghanistan. Somebody wants to talk about people who are unemployed and are in need of shelter and the homelessness. And it goes on and on and on. And I experience people who are very overwhelmed by it all. And I experience it on social media. I experience it in small conversations with people. And I am so grateful for this practice that in the beginning of our conversation, Pamela talked about the fulcrum. And so finding that fulcrum can be a frequently a never-ending job. But at least we've experienced it and we can go back to it again and again and again. We'll find it. It's inside ourselves. I just want to lay out a couple of tools I use all the time. Laughter is very, very important. You need to have something going on in your life, whatever it might be. Some people like to laugh at animals. They find animals to be very, very funny. And other people need a more human or social context. But find something that makes you laugh and keep humor. I mean, I do a Garrison Keillor thing every day, and that's very helpful for me. But that may not be your shtick, and that's not helpful. I also read a lot of poetry, and there are some poets that we have in our midst that if you had a daily diet of it, it would really keep you afloat. Time with Mary Oliver is always time well spent. Turning the pages of an Angie Beausevain book, that'll help immensely. And you have all your Buddhist works that are very, very helpful. I spend a lot of time when I'm outside. I'll do some Qigong outside, and then I will do kind of that big mind practice where I look up. I think that's very, very helpful because, as Angie has indicated, most of us have our nose to the sidewalk or the asphalt. So I have to say, because I'm a retired person, I've really been able to step back and just be of service. This for me is like, this is Bodhisattva time for me. I've got so much to do, and it's very much like what Angie said. You know, you just do what you can do. And sometimes there's a lot to do, and sometimes there's a break from doing a lot of that. But whether it's the care of my 94-year-old mother or my stepdaughter who's had some real big health issues, or it's friends that are in need, and my vet group. Anyway, I just find myself constantly in the loop, not to mention this wonderful group of floating Zendo. So in all the things that I seem to be connected to, and I have to say, in the last, since the pandemic, it's been amplified so much. I'm now friends with so many wonderful Buddhists from all over the world. And I find that has been an added benefit from the pandemic. And some of these Buddhists are also poets. And so they nourish and support me in ways that, prior to that, I didn't know anything like that existed. I just want to say, friends, in closing, that we really can make a lot of this time, that it can be extremely well, we can really find meaning and purpose, I guess is what I'm talking about. And I'm so grateful for the practice that allows me in that, and really reduce the amount of time I ever spend whining. I'm not much of a whiner. No, I don't like the whine that ever comes out of me. Anyway, thank you so much, Angie, for being here tonight and for supporting us. For those of us who benefited so much from your presence, you've set many of us on a path that's it's just been a blessing. Thank you.
Jeffrey, thank you. I think that's a wonderful way to close. It's a summation of us. Very nice. Is there anything else? Karen?
I just want to show you the flowers that Allie put together when she heard that you were going to be. Those are some from her garden. Some are dry, and there's a couple of live ones.
It looks so, like summer.
Yeah, exactly.
Summer in a drought.
But she sends her love.
Give it back from here. I love you all. I miss you all. But here we are. Every single day, every single minute. I feel that. Feel it. And am so grateful for it. Thank you all. Thank you for your practice, for your good minds, for your doubting and your loving and your effort, always effort. Thank you so much. Do we chant at the end?
Yes.
Does Leslie have any announcements?
No, not really. I'm looking forward to our discussion next week. And that's it. Nothing more than that. So,
is there anything we need to do to prepare for that discussion? We're not going to be discussing a book. We're going to be, it's very general, wide open.
Well, I thought we said that we'd decide how we, you know, pick a book or pick a discussion topic approach. So those two things. And then I can show the results of the survey. and we could talk a little bit about how to proceed in that way. Was there anything else? I don't think so right now. So nobody has to prepare.
Beings are numberless.
I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to end them. Dharma gates are boundless. I vow to enter them. Buddha's ways unsurpassable. I vow to become it.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. Be well.